Yes, tonight, a simple subject. There is one particular discourse given by the Buddha by answering to certain questions posed by a young man. His name was Subha. He was very seriously thinking to find out what is the cause, or what are the causes for these discriminations amongst the mankind. He discussed this matter, but he could not gain satisfactory answer, because common belief even today that differences and discriminations prevails amongst the mankind according to the will or wish of a supernatural living being, of God. God is responsible for our differences. Even 2,000 years ago also people had the same belief. The only religious teacher who could not agree with this belief was the Buddha. Though he did not acknowledge this age-old or traditional belief, we suffer according to the will of God. We enjoy our life according to His will. We die earlier according to His will. We enjoy our life for a long time according to His will. This is the belief. So Buddhism is not ready to entertain this belief. So this young man, Subha, came and asked a series of questions. His first question was, why certain human beings die very early, even before they come to this world, in the mother's womb? Why some are fortunate to live the maximum lifespan? Is there any secret or any cause, or whether it is natural? If it is natural, then what is the reason? What is the cause? Then the Buddha gave the answer to this question. He said, although people maintain different beliefs regarding this subject, this problem, the main cause is those who have destroyed others' lives, those who have tortured and created suffering amongst the other living beings. And because of this particular evil deeds or the karma, after paying for what they have done, what they have committed, if the rebirth has taken place as human beings due to certain other good karma, although they have committed such evil deeds, they too have done a lot of good merits. Through the influence of such merit, they had the opportunity to be born as human beings. And what will happen? The bad effect of destroying others' lives come forward and topple and destroy that particular existence. That is the main reason why many people die when they are very young. And there is another way for us to explain this. I think you have learned that we can overcome, we can suspend the bad effect of certain bad deeds or bad karmas that we have done by using our effort, our knowledge, our intelligence. But the bad effect still remains in our mental process, in our life process, never disappear. Although we could manage to overcome or suspend by adopting another method, then what will happen? When chances arise, the bad effect of those karmas again come forward and topple and attack and destroy or interrupt the maximum lifespan there. Therefore, we should not think that we could manage to eradicate or wipe out completely the bad effect of certain karmas, although we had the chance to stop the effect. So we cannot bluff with the natural law, because there is nobody to handle this. It is natural. So we must face the consequences of the bad effect or the bad deeds that we have committed. So if people die when they are very young, the main reason is that they have committed this particular bad karma by destroying others' life. The purpose is immaterial. They may destroy others' lives due to various reasons. I have already explained, the more we develop our hatred or anger or grudge or enmity or greed to destroy another life, the more we have to pay the bad effect. At the same time, we may commit certain bad deeds or evil deeds, as act of killing, sometimes reluctantly, not wholeheartedly, under certain circumstances, since there is no other choice. If not, to release the sufferings of some others, not due to our own selfishness or for our own benefit or personal gain. Even then, certain degree of the effect, the bad effect, definitely remains there. But that particular karma is not very strong. Then the other karmas get the chance to overcome, topple them. This is the nature of the karma. Then the positive side, why some people can lead a maximum lifespan to experience their life, to enjoy their life, because they have cultivated their kindness or compassion or sympathy and understanding towards other living beings without hurting them, without destroying them. So the effect is long life. So those who try to live long instead of taking various vitamins and tablets and injections, if they can develop their kindness and compassion and understanding towards others, if not within that lifetime, thereafter, definitely they can enjoy long life without facing untimely death. So it is not due to act of God or devil or anybody, but our own action. So we are responsible for our own pleasure and our own suffering, our long life as well as short life. That is the way how the Buddha answered to this first question. So his second question was, why some people are very sick from their childhood, if not throughout their life? Why some others are very healthy? Very seldom they suffer from sicknesses. There are some people who have never taken even an injection, never taken any drugs as medicine. They are very strong. But some others, almost every day, have to depend on drugs, medication, and very sickly type, very weak, and no confidence, no hopes, no happiness in their life, always frustration, unhappiness, disappointment, cannot make use of the life. But others, just because they are healthy, can enjoy their life, they have confidence, they are happy. That is what the Buddha says, santuddhi paramandhana. The highest wealth is contentment, satisfaction. So they can satisfy with their life. So what is the reason? I understand one day, one priest was trying to console a sick man in the hospital. I was listening. He said, you should not worry about your sickness. For every sickness that God creates, He also creates a medicine. So I really cannot understand this interpretation. In the first place, why it is necessary to create a sickness? Is there any reason? So that is why we cannot satisfy with this kind of religious belief. It is not due to act of God or devil that we have to face sicknesses. In fact, sicknesses are natural. Not only human beings, animals also suffer from various sicknesses. Plant life also suffer from various sicknesses. That is due to the combinations of elements and energies when exist together, combined together, there are friction, clashes, conflicts, create the effect. Sicknesses, sufferings, decaying, disappearance. These are the effects. Not created by any god or devil. This is natural. Nothing to do with religion. Without any religion, we can understand why sicknesses, decaying, or old age, and disappearance take place. But as far as human beings are concerned, we can analyze in this way. The answer given by the Buddha is this. Those who have ill-treated other living beings by creating injuries, harming others, and creating sufferings and miseries and disturbances, these kind of evil deeds are the causes for people to suffer from various kind of sicknesses. Some of them are incurable. There is no medicine. No one can cure certain sicknesses. I think you have heard that story, that Dr. Edgar Casey in America, who had to suffer from some sort of sickness. Doctors have condemned this as incurable. But he was a very intelligent man. He developed the development of psychic power to get into trance, like hypnotism. Through this hypnotism, he hypnotized his own mind. He could manage to find out a medicine. After taking this, completely got cured his sickness. When this news was spread, more and more people started to come and see him, consult. Then he get into this trance and find out certain remedy or medicines, effective. But he did not use name of any religion, name of any god, any supernatural living being, pure psychological approach. All those who use the name of religions or God, they do that to create devotion, confidence, and to inspire the mind to believe what he is going to do. They say, in the name of God, or in the name of Buddha, or in the name of Goddess of Mercy, or in the name of Amitabha Buddha, they can use any name. By introducing these religious objects, what they do, they create devotions and confidence and inspiration in their mind to accept what this person is doing for him. This chanting, blessings, mantras, holy waters, any kind of religious, or praying and worshipping and making vows, everything, they do this in that way. But when we analyze, we can understand more psychological effects. The more you believe this, the more you experience some good effect. So this man, he has recorded more than 20,000 cases. That institute is still available, still working, but not very active. That man is no more. The most interesting point is this. When he got into trance, he said, this is the effect of certain bad deeds that you have done during your previous birth. But this man never believed rebirth. He had no idea whatsoever about karma. He was not a Buddhist. But when he got into trance, he says, this is the effect of the bad deeds that you have committed during your previous birth. This is the karma. There is no remedy. There is no medicine for this. This clearly explain what the Buddha said here. But this man says, without depending on any religion or any god or any religious symbol, through his intellect or intellectual approach to this subject, when he got into trance, this is not a made-up story. There are many books written about his cases, how he cured people. So here the Buddha says, so those who have created sufferings, miseries, and hurt, harm other living beings, have to face this kind of bad effect in terms of sicknesses, to suffer. Certain cases are incurable. Throughout their life they had to suffer. Certain cases only for a certain period. This is a warning for all of us, how to make use of our life, how to enjoy our life without creating miseries, sufferings and disturbances. Allow others also to enjoy their life. We should not rob their freedom, their happiness, their life. On the other hand, he said, those who observed, upheld this principle, extended their kindness and understanding and sympathy towards others, who allowed others also to enjoy their life without disturbing them, can lead a very healthy life without suffering from various sicknesses. Now let us take the life of the Buddha, who explained this. He had to suffer from 12 kinds of sicknesses. Some of them were incurable. Throughout his life he had to suffer. But he explained to his disciples why he is suffering. What is the cause? Then he pointed out what he has done during one of his previous births, because he was a worldly man at that time, although he had been practicing, cultivating, developing to gain his enlightenment, but worldly minded. So he had his human weaknesses. He has committed certain bad deeds. He has violated certain precepts. And he has done harm to others. And then he explained to his disciples what he has done. And these hidden karmas, which never had the chance to come forward to effect, during his last birth, this is the final birth, no more rebirth for him. And all those hidden karmas had the chance to come forward. But they are very minor ones, not serious ones. But in the end, he passed away, or he died, because of his severe stomach complaint. He had to suffer. When he was going to Kusinara, started this journey nearly 3 months earlier, on the way, he had a severe stomach pain, intolerable, he said. At that time, by using his enlightenment or psychic power, he said, he had suppressed this severe pain and he wanted to give his final advice, instructions and guidance to his disciple before his passing away. So then he told Ananda, I had this severe pain. I thought I am going to die. But by using my enlightenment and psychic power, I could manage to suppress and control this, because I want to live few more months to give all the necessary guidance, instruction to my disciple. So, the Buddha is not free from worldly conditions and karma. Here Buddha means physical body, not the enlightenment. The real meaning of the Buddha is Buddhahood or enlightenment. But here we take only physical body. Actually speaking, physical body is not the Buddha. So the physical body had to suffer, but the Buddha did not suffer. Dharma is the natural phenomena common to every living being, whether that person is a Buddha or a Deva or a Brahma or a human being or devil or ghost, any kinds of living being who hold a physical body. That physical body is a combination of elements and energies. And this physical body is not holy, not enlightened, not pure. There is no difference whatsoever between my physical body and your physical body and the Buddha's physical body. The same ingredients, same elements, same energies. But the enlightenment, supreme wisdom, the purity, the holiness, perfection, all these qualities you can find in the Buddha's enlightenment, but not in the body. So he is under this natural law, who introduced the nature of this natural law as dharma. Then what about certain arahantas who had to die earlier because of the certain bad karmas that they have committed during one of their previous births? There was another monk, his name was Bakula, who lived 160 years. At that time, maximum lifespan was 120 years. Venerable Ananda lived 120 years. The Buddha lived only 8 years, because his generative karma, the productive karma, the karma which conditioned his life, is only limited up to 60 years. He said, if he really wants, he can extend up to the maximum lifespan by using his psychic power and enlightenment. But he did not use it. He wanted to face a natural death. Then this Venerable Bakula, who lived 160 years, when the disciples asked, what is the reason why only this particular monk had the chance to live 160 years, then the Buddha said, you know, this monk, during his previous birth, life after life, not only within one lifetime, he have ministered, attended, supported sick people, provide medicines to those who suffer from various sicknesses. That was his way of life. As a result of this meritorious deed, he had the chance to live for 160 years. It is mentioned that only once a year he get one sneeze. Only once a year. But how many times a day that we do that? That is the only sickness he had throughout his life. Don't hurt other living beings. Don't harm them. Don't torture them. Allow them also to enjoy their life. Sometimes their way of life become nuisance to you. Yes, really. But we must have patience, tolerance, and some sort of solution to get rid of this nuisance without destroying them, without harming them. Now that is the answer to the second question. The third one is, why some people are very ugly? and some others are very handsome and pretty. Now this is a very important question. And the same question was posed by Lady Visakha. One day she asked, why some ladies are very pretty, very charming, some others are horrible? What is the reason? We cannot follow the scientific interpretation. It is not accurate. Genetic or genes or molecules, genes. Because we can see father and mothers are very handsome and pretty, children are like monkeys. Yes, there are many cases. Some are sometimes a cripple, or blind, or mentally retarded, but parents are very normal. So that is, scientific interpretation is not the answer. Then, this Lady Visakha came and asked this question, why some ladies are very pretty and some are ugly? The Buddha gave the simple answer. Those who have harbored, developed their anger, hatred, enmity, jealousy during their previous birth, when rebirth take place, those ingredients in their mind mix up with their consciousness. So, when the conception take place in the mother's womb, those germs are still working, still active. Then, the features, complexions, appearance and outlook, if they are bad, definitely very ugly. This is true. When you look at a young girl, very pretty girl, who is very angry and very jealous, look at her face, how ugly. But she is very pretty. Immediately we can see the bad effect, ugliness, in that enmity or jealousy or anger. So when this person develops this mental process, then she is going on molding and molding and molding her next life. And the next life becomes very ugly and horrible looking. On the other hand, another person is very kind, very cooperative, understanding, not jealous, never disturb others. And this person also going on molding her life with these ingredients which are favorable, then very soothing appearance, very pleasant and good complexion, good features. The mental attitude, mental process, how mind, mental activities mold the next life, are the causes. The Buddha gave this interpretation. So those ladies who spend thousands of dollars for their makeup, for buying cosmetics, can stop everything, save lot of money, if they can develop their kindness, compassion, understanding, patience, tolerance towards others. Throw away all your cosmetics. Everybody likes you. Nobody wants to disturb you. Practice and see. Throw away all your cosmetics. This is the answer given by the Buddha. So now you have learned the secret. Then the positive side. Those who are very handsome by nature, very charming, very pretty, the reflection of the mental image that they have created, molded, when you are very angry, go to the mirror and see how handsome you are. When that face, if that person dies immediately with that anger, with that jealousy, the next life also, the formations of that life also take place according to that image, that mental image. Very easy to understand. Do you know that story which is in Dhammapada? A monk who was meditating. So in the process of his meditation, suddenly he died. And rebirth or existence again taken place in Devaloka as one of the Devas. Do you know, there's no childhood, no babies in Devaloka. Suddenly they appear, they exist as they appear, and one day they disappear. That is their way of life. So this particular Deva, the former monks who was meditating here, was born in one of the Devalokas as one of the Deva, not as a monk. But in that particular Devaloka, what was he doing? All the while he was sitting and meditating. Then the other Devas could not understand what is wrong with this person. So what they did, they brought big mirror and kept in front of him. When he saw the mirror, he found out the figure is entirely different. Not the same person. No more a monk, one of the Devas. This a story shows how our mental link, that is called relinking consciousness. Relinking consciousness means when our consciousness departed from here, this will strike, landed either as human beings or animals or devas or brahmas or spirit or ghost. But there is a link, the connection. All the ingredients, mental process, mental attitudes and habits are based on this consciousness. So this particular monk who died suddenly when he was meditating again appeared as another living being, but the link or the mental process are still working in the same track. This is without any controversy, I think we can accept that it is true. So we had to maintain some sort of healthy mind by reducing our grudge and jealousy and hatred and ill will and enmity, at least before we die. If we die with those evil forces in our mind, chances are very, very blessed to be born in a favorable state, because the ingredients are very dirty, unhealthy, cannot mold a fortunate life. So others are not responsible for this. Don't wait until the God come and take away and clean and wash and mold another new one. That is not the Buddhist way. Buddhists are not ready to accept this, because we know it is impossible. We are molding our next life. Another person cannot do that. Then the next question. Some people have so many followers who listen to them. But there are some people never cooperate with them, never associate with them, never listen to them, never follow them. Why it is like this? Some are very influential, but others are very unpopular. People never listen. Even rulers who rule the country. If that particular person has committed this karma, subjects or the people in that country are not ready to listen to him, obey him, respect him. But some others may be uneducated or if not born in a poor family. But people follow and respect by observing this person's the qualities, the virtues, what is the reason. Then the Buddha gave this answer. Those who have developed enmity, those who do not know how to cooperate with others, harmonize with others, always show their discriminations, differences, by attacking, criticizing, condemning, accusing others. That is their way of life. They cannot tolerate many things. Their way of life is to criticize or condemn. As a result of this mental attitude, in the next birth, these people become very unpopular. People don't like to cooperate with them. They shun these people, just ignore them. Then they feel some sort of loneliness, no companions. Even married life also become very miserable ones. Because his married partner never cooperate with the other party. People never think that this mental attitude is that dangerous, so serious. So on the other hand, why some people are influential? People always listen to them, obey, respect and trust them. Because they have not developed their enmity, their discrimination, their hostility towards others. So, cooperation and understanding without criticizing and condemning and accusing. If we can maintain that type of mental attitude, then people naturally respect and listen and obey. This is the answer given by the Buddha to this question. Next one, why some are poor and some others are very rich? Not because that they were born in poor families, but there is a hidden secret. Some people use their full effort, work day and night like slaves, to be rich, to enjoy their life. Whatever they handle, whatever they do, become failure, never succeed. But some others, even without working, simply gain more than enough things to enjoy their life. What is the secret? Luck. We use the word luck. There is no such thing as luck. That is our own karma. The luck never come from outside. The luck never come down from heaven. We create our own luck and bad luck, both. Good luck and bad luck means good karma and bad karma that we have created earlier. So, those who are very stingy, very selfish, never think of others, by disregarding others, allowing them to suffer, enjoy their life. They are so selfish. After their death, when rebirth take place. Since they have not accumulated enough merits to enjoy their life, and forever they had to suffer their life, they won't gain what they need. Very difficult for them to find out even their food and clothing and shelters. You know, millions and millions of human beings in various countries, how they suffer. Without food, without clothing, even a piece of cloth, but this much also cannot find out. Without any shelter, even a mud hut for them to sleep. Under hot sun or rain, they had to sleep there outside. Or no place for them to lie down. And no medicines for their sicknesses. They are dying like flies. But while others are enjoying their life, they have more than enough things. More than enough food and clothing. So many houses, medicines. Who is responsible for that? Each and every person is responsible individually. So by knowing this, our duty is to reduce our selfishness and share with others. Allow others also to gain little bit of happiness and satisfaction in their life. The happiness that we gain by contributing something for their benefit is the merits. When we die with that happiness in our mind, our life becomes very fortunate. So we can lead our life without facing so many problems and difficulties and miseries and calamities very, very smoothly. We can maintain our way of life through the influence of our own merits. But others who have not accumulated enough merits by sharing with others their happiness, when rebirth takes place, because of their stinginess and selfishness, they experience difficulties, sufferings, miseries, unsatisfactoriness in their life. That is the reason why some are very, very poor and some others are rich and enjoy their life. Next one, why some people are regarded as low caste or low class? Or third class. People do not respect it, especially in India. Those who have visited India might have seen this situation. Untouchable. There are human beings in that country that they never touch. Untouchable. If anybody accidentally touch one of them, must go and wash the hand and perform some religious service also, take some holy water. Because they are untouchable. Even their cats and dogs also, they never ill-treat in that way. So this question, having seen the situation in that particular country, in India, even today, this young man asked this question. Why some people are ill-treated? There is nobody to support them, downtrodden. Forever they have to suffer inferiority complex. They always think that we are very low. They cannot sit together with others. They cannot eat with others. Why it is like this? But some others are very highly respected, worshipped, honored. What is the reason? Because all are human beings. Then, The Buddha's answer.
Those who have maintained conceit or pride that we are higher, supreme, superior, but others are very low. They always condemn some others as low, discriminate others, thinking that we are white, they are dark. We are belong to royal family, they are belong to low caste family. We are belong to this race, they are belong to that race. That is low. We are higher. So they bring everything to show their discrimination, superiority, feeling that they are higher and others belong to the low caste. Their race, their culture, their tradition, their way of life, their manners, their custom, their religion, their languages, how many things are there for people to talk, to condemn others by cherishing their own, even dirty things. They condemn others' customs, traditions and way of life. Here, those who maintain such mental attitude, it will happen when rebirth takes place. Others ill-treat them, disregard them, condemn them as low-caste people. In fact, according to the Buddha's teaching, we cannot divide mankind into two groups as high class and low class. By birth, najaccha vasalo hoti, najaccha hoti brahmano, kammana vasalo hoti, kammana hoti brahmano. And this is the Buddha's attitude in Dhammapada. Simply by birth, a person never becomes a low caste or high caste. According to his way of life, his action, what he does, what he thinks, what he talks, these things indicate whether this person is belong to high caste or low caste. Now this is the Buddha's attitude. Here what the Buddha is trying to tell us, those who have maintained such mentality that we are higher and superior, others are low and very mean, what will happen when rebirth takes place? People never respect them, ill-treat them, disregard them, condemn them. And on the other hand, those who do not ill-treat others, regard all of them as human beings, as brothers and sisters, without any discrimination, race or color or religion or various other issues, they never bring forward to show their discrimination, to disturb others. That brotherly feeling, that cooperation, that understanding purifies so many dirts, wipe out so many dirts from our mind. When rebirth takes place, everybody respects such people because of these good qualities and the virtues. Next one, this young man is a very intelligent man. He asked, why some people are very intelligent from their childhood? Why some others are dullard, stupid? Cannot study, cannot understand, cannot think, maintain low mentality, but some others are very intelligent, can think very deeply, can study. What is the reason? This is another important question. Parents cannot give their intellect, their wisdom to their children. A doctor or lawyer cannot produce their children to become doctors and lawyers if they do not want to study. Children must study, then they can become doctors and lawyers. Although they try, cannot, in many cases. parents are uneducated, not intelligent at all. But their children are very intelligent. They can study. But very highly intellectual father and mother produce some children who are dullard, who are stupid. This is the question. The answer given by the Buddha, those who have developed, cultivated their knowledge, understanding and way of thinking without abusing their human intelligence, without misusing their human intelligence, when rebirth takes place, they will continue their mental process, support them to continue what they have learned during their previous birth. Now you are trying to improve your religious knowledge. Some others are trying to improve their academic knowledge, book knowledge, gain more experience. The knowledge that you develop never disappears. Your habits, your character, your behavior never disappear from you. So your way of thinking, then you can divert towards your will. Then this will bring all of them, then carry forward line after line. The will made by the Buddha during his previous birth that I want to become a Buddha, then accumulated all the other knowledge and qualities and virtues and discipline, then went on developing and developing and developing life after life. Here the Buddha says, when you, those who have developed their way of thinking without abusing, become more and more intelligent life after life. That is why by nature they are intelligent. On the other hand, those who did not take the trouble to improve their knowledge and understanding and thinking, abuse their human intelligence. In the next birth, they won't gain even that much. Then going and dwindling and dwindling and reducing, way of thinking can become animals' way of thinking. So that is the main reason. Those who abuse their human intelligence without improving, they become dullard and stupid people. Those who knew how to make use of their knowledge, understanding, cultivate their mind, discipline their mind, they become more and more intelligent. That is the secret. Don't say given by the God. These are the questions. Now you can understand. These are the biggest problems that human beings are facing in this world. And they have different opinions, beliefs and ideas. Why all these discriminations and differences?